8:14 in the morning now. Adala, New York, an organization that seeks justice for both Arabs and Jews, will hold a demonstration this Saturday. They will be picketing the jewelry store owned by Lev Levayev, who is a major developer of settlements on Palestinian land. He's also involved, along with a partner in Brooklyn, with projects that are responsible for a great deal of gentrification there. So we welcome Issa Mikkel from Adala, New York, and Ethan Heitner, also from Adala, New York. Good morning to you, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. So first of all, I know nothing about this. I'm going to ask you to back up and explain everything for all of us as listeners. First of all, who is Lev Levayev?
Good morning. Lev Levayev is one of Israel's richest business people. He is deeply involved, more importantly, deeply involved in illegal settlement activity in a number of West Bank locations, including Ariel, including including Matityahu East, which is one of the settlements that is occupying the land of Bilin. So there are a number of villages in which he's heavily invested, and he's also invested in Angolan diamonds, which has meant that he is in bed with the Angolan government and a private security company that has been accused of serious human rights abuses in Angola. And, of course, right here at home, he's been involved with partner Shia Boimelgreen in activities, development activities here in New York that have led to gentrification, that have exploited local communities. And, you know, basically the reason why we're focusing on Levayev is because he's really sort of typifying, you know, the kind of the worst aspect of, you know, what's going on both globally and locally. He's involved both in Palestine, he's involved in Angola, and he's involved here at home. And we want to tell him as New Yorkers that, you know, we don't want to buy his products, we don't want to put money in his pocket if he's going to continue to be complicit in the kinds of human rights abuses in which he's complicit, both, you know, abroad and also, you know, immoral activities here in New York City, in our own city.
This is really interesting to me, looking at the connections between this very incredibly rich property gentleman and what is going on with Israel and Palestine. So I just wondered if you could talk about implications of the settlement building for the Palestinians who are actually on this land. Ethan? Isel?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, something like 50% of the villagers of Jayus, which is used to be a breadbasket region in Salfit, which is in the West Bank, 50% of them are now receiving food aid from the World Food Program because they have
50%.
They've lost 70% of their land behind the separation barrier that Israel is building. Israel is building the barrier to protect the settlements which it's already built, including Matityahu East, which is, you know, like I said, being constructed by Levayev's company. So they, you know, they still technically own their land sometimes, but it's on the other side of the wall, which means that they can't get access to it. And this
that's
is
extraordinary. They own it, but they can't get access to their
right.
own land.
And I mean, Israel sort of sets up gates or like tries to pretend like they still can have access to their land. But, you know, the UN recently reported that only about 18% of Palestinians who used to own land on the wrong side of the wall can still regularly get any sort of access to it. Like, there's a system of pass cards, there's a system of guards, there's a system of gates which are only open during certain periods of time. So really they've been entirely, you know, while maintaining the illusion of legality and the illusion of sort of respecting human rights, they managed to completely cut off Palestinians from their own self-sustenance.
Right, right. So then tell us a bit more about Adala and what Adala does.
Sure. Adala has been around for about a year. We began last year when, if you remember, last year the siege of Gaza was, you know, began to be particularly harsh after the elections in which Hamas won. So, you know, and then eventually the strikes against Gaza going into the summer of 2006 became particularly violent. The Israeli military killed a number of Palestinians over a very short period of time, plus you know, destroyed power stations and whatnot. So it was a, you know, particularly it was a particularly difficult time after the elections. And so, you know, a bunch of us organizations got together, individuals and organizations got together and started to protest. And then the attack on Lebanon started in July of 2007, and we worked that in as well because, you know, we saw it obviously as all part of the same kind of Israeli aggression in the region. So then we were the ad hoc coalition for justice in the Middle East, which was kind of an unwieldy title, and we, you know, obviously realized that, or knew that, you know, the problem wasn't going to go away, and that the kind of organization that we've been doing in New York was sorely needed and lacking. There are some groups doing very good work in New York, but, you know, this was an opportunity for a number of organizations to really do good grassroots work, and we decided that we couldn't just, you know, go away, and that we wouldn't. So we formed Adala, and, you know, hopefully we'll, you know, keep going as long as the problem remains.
And I understand that Adala means justice in Arabic.
It does, yeah. Adala New York, yeah, means justice.
Okay, so just talk about the connection between the role of Lev Leviev and that Manhattan business and the building here in BK, in Brooklyn.
Sure. Leviev's company, Africa Israel Holdings, and his partner, Shai Avoma Green, recently entered the New York real estate market, but they entered sort of in a big way. Leviev bought the old New York Times building. He's got, you know, dozens of holdings up throughout Manhattan and Brooklyn.
Really?
He's huge, and the New York Times recently ran a profile of him which sort of highlighted his development work but didn't talk about the sleazy underpinnings going on.
Right.
Boyman Green and Leviev in Gowanus Village were the target of an Acorn and a laborers union campaign. Gowanus Village, which is, you know, mainly a light industrial zone with low and middle income housing, his company, Africa Israel, bought a lot of land and wanted to rezone it for luxury condo development, which would obviously force both the light industry, which is some of Brooklyn's only remaining light industry, and artisans and craftsmen who have their workshops there, and the low and middle income families who live there, would completely push them out. And then also, in his development work, they hire non-union workers, they pay substandard wages, there's hazardous work conditions. So the laborers union was attacking them for the working conditions of the workers who were being employed, and Acorn, as a community group, was targeting him because of the effects that his developments have on the community. So that was a major campaign that they launched against Boyman Green and Leviev last year. Boyman Green and Leviev are business partners in different buildings they own jointly, and some of them they own separately, so it gets a little confusing at times.
So I was going to ask, actually, whether this is the first time that Leviev's the connection with Palestine and Israel and injustice, that's really been brought to the top of the radar, so we understand the connection between what he does here and what he does there.
Well, from my understanding, Belin and Jayus, which are villages in Palestine, which have been centers of nonviolent resistance for years now, you know, they've told us, you know, our connections there have told us, you know, there's these businessmen, and we know that they operate in New York too, and, you know, can you see what they're doing in New York? And then completely independently, Acorn and the Laborers Union brought their campaign, you know, sometime around spring of last year, and so we noticed that it was the same people.
Yeah.
But, you know, the people in Belin and Jayus, the Palestinians there, have said that we know that there's these businessmen who are, like, physically constructing these settlements.
But in the terms of the public eye, this is the first time I've heard this direct link between what they're doing here and what they're doing there.
Certainly in the U.S., yeah. I mean, it's, you know, as Ethan pointed out, you know, the press has sort of covered the brighter aspects of Leviev's business activities. And he's, you know, claimed himself to have invested $1 billion in New York real estate, which is not an inconsiderable sum of money, or he and his partners. It's unclear where he gets these numbers, but clearly he's claiming to have invested a serious sum of money in New York.
Right.
But, you know, of course, in the United States media, it's not par for the course to look more deeply into the activities of these individuals and organizations, even though they are committing what everybody in the world, outside the U.S., recognizes are serious human rights abuses and has been condemned by the International Court of Justice in 2004 and hundreds of human rights organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So to follow on to this, we are linking, you know, not only to make this a New York-based activity, but we're linking quite consciously our activities with what's going on in Palestine, and where 171 Palestinian human rights organizations, NGOs, have called for individuals and organizations abroad to boycott and divest and implement sanctions against Israel and Israeli businesses until the occupation ends. So, you know, this is very clearly a solidarity campaign in which we have realized, like the South Africa anti-apartheid movement, the help of individuals and organizations and governments abroad are essential to give the oppressed population, in this case the Palestinians, you know, a hand in their struggle, and that, you know, without it, it would be much, much more difficult for the Palestinians to resist the Israeli juggernaut. So we really see this as part of what will hopefully develop into a much larger global movement that, you know, you can see developing in the United Kingdom, you can see it developing in Canada and South Africa.
Mm. It's a great strategic move as well, because by bringing it here to New York and making it Manhattan-based, people who don't necessarily understand the connection can begin to see why, not just that he should be boycotted, but his connection to what's happening to the Palestinians. Because, mm-hmm. like I said, I know and read all the time about Israel and Palestine. The first time I've ever heard this gentleman's name and didn't know anything about the connection between what he's doing here and what he's doing there. So I think what is really powerful about it is that multidisciplinary strategic approach to how you make people aware of the connection between here and Israel and Palestine.
Sure, I mean, people really, I think New Yorkers and Americans in general are hopefully starting to realize more of this. You know, for example, his activities in Angola, where he's hiring this private security company to protect his businesses, and the security company has been accused of all kinds of human rights abuses, including assassinations. You know, I think that probably rings a bell with a lot of Americans. You know, for example, you know, we can talk about Blackwater in Iraq, where that's something that is both in Iraq but also hits home. So yeah. You know, I think it's important to keep in mind that, you know, Americans are being directly affected by this also.
And I also think it's good to note that Israel sort of is very good at occluding or separating what's actually going on in settlement construction with sort of the broader, you know, discourse in the media and the discourse in the news about settlements. So, like, very few people have an idea of how the process of settlement construction goes on. They don't realize that there's private construction firms that are actually building the physical reality of settlements all the time and are, you know, getting contracts and getting
profiting from it
and profiting from it and then selling the houses to individual families who want to live there.
Yeah. Exactly, and who those firms are, yeah, and how they get that money and how they get those contracts, yeah, is a whole other conversation that we don't really have.
Yeah, and it's not easy information to sometimes get. I mean, there's a network of people who try and, you know, who investigate these things in Israel and in Palestine, and who, you know, we've been talking to and trying to get the information out of, and they don't always want to advertise that they're doing. And if you look on, you know, Leviev's Africa-Israel company, if you look on their website, they don't advertise the fact that they build settlements.
Because why would they, really?
Right. But it's not, you know, it's not something, on the other hand, that they're really ashamed of when you get them in the right audience. You know,
their website doesn't mention anything about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so just remind us all about the details for the demonstration.
All right, it is this Saturday, December 8th at 1 p.m. At 62nd, I believe, in Madison, 62nd Madison, in front of Leviev, New York. Bring as many people as you can. Tell all your friends. There will be flyering, there will be chanting, there will hopefully be some music.
There will be music, there will be dancing.
There will be dancing.
That's the way, the way you're going to march. You're going to march.
There will be games being played, yes. It's a combined Hanukkah protest, because it's the fourth night of Hanukkah, and it's also a dancing protest with Palestinian babka dancing, which is a traditional folk dance from Palestine.
So if people want to find out a bit more about Adela, the organization as well, is there a website or something that you can give us?
At www.mideastjustice.com. .org.
www.mideastjustice.org. Okay, so we say thank you to Issa Mikkel and Ethan Heitner from Adala, New York. Adala meaning justice in Arabic, telling us about the demonstration at Leviev Jewelers, 62nd Street and Madison Avenue. That's this Saturday at 1 p.m. They will be dancing, they will be chanting, they will be flyering, and there will be music. And it's also acknowledgement of Hanukkah. So we say to you both, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. 8:28. How about we have some music? Let's have a tune, New York.
Now, what starts with the letter C? Cookie starts with C. Let's think of other things that starts with C. Who cares about other things? C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. Whoa.